Welcome to Literary Speaking with Crystal Lee Quibell. Literary Speaking is the author's guide to writing and publishing, sharing tips and tricks for aspiring authors. Crystal Lee's expert guests will bring you the latest information on how to write and publish your book into being. Are you ready to tell your story? Here's your host.
Welcome to Literary Speaking. I'm your host, Crystal Lee Quibell, and today we're talking with Beth Shulman, author of the memoir, The Gold Mailbox. Beth, welcome to the show.
Hello, so nice to be here.
Great. Beth, what made you decide to write a memoir?
Well, actually, I didn't really sit down and decide to write it. It kind of found me. I had spent so much of my life really trying to keep busy. I was always moving forward at warp speed, kind of avoiding thoughts of my early years as a child of abuse and neglect. And it wasn't really until I became a mother that some of those voices from my past came back to haunt me. I just found myself struggling in ways I couldn't explain. I was a teacher, and I always felt like I'd be a great mom. And some issues really came up for me when I started mothering my own children. So as a form of therapy, really, I just started recording some of my memories from childhood. The memories were confined to a journal. I took out mostly in the summertime when I had a reprieve from my job as a kindergarten teacher. And then over the years, those journal entries kind of developed into scenes, and I started paying more attention to the craft of writing and creating them into scenes. And then that was 15 years ago. And fast forward, I was divorced, and I was still busy teaching kindergarten kids during the day, and I had become a graduate, a teacher of graduate studies in education at night. And so, I continued to be busy, but I didn't have the pressure of, having to be a full-time mom. My two sons were, growing up. They were living their own busy lives. And so I took out those journals and I kind of dusted them off. And, I think having just been divorced, I felt a new resolve to get my story finished. It felt really important to me to slow down and really focus on this. And so I dusted off the journals and I just started to take some writing courses and going on writing retreats. And the more I shared my story with others, writers and close friends, it was their enthusiasm and encouragement that really helped me gain the confidence to finish it and then go for publishing.
And did you find, through writing about the trauma and the neglect that you went through and everything, even reliving it, did you find it to be healing in some way to sort of write that out and sort of go through
it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. Even just those early writings of just getting out some of the stuff and trying to unpackage my childhood, that was healing. But then even more so, although it was painful at times, it was, as I got deeper into the story, it was definitely cathartic and ultimately a really empowering experience.
You thank fellow author Claire Bidwell Smith in the book for sort of helping you with the book and the proposal. How did you meet her and begin working with her?
Well, I had read her book, which is a memoir called The Rules of Inheritance. Mm-hmm. And I really loved it. It was also about loss. And I'm really drawn to memoir. I always have been, even before I decided to get busy, writing my own. And I just loved her voice in the story, and I really respected her as a writer. So I found her website, and I wrote to her, and she became a source of inspiration and guided me through the book writing proposal process. I consulted with her, and it was through her that I was able to write the book proposal, which was something I knew nothing about, and it was a daunting process. And I've learned that, sometimes all it takes is reaching out and connecting with others to make things happen. And that's exactly what I did.
Well, and there's really this lovely community within, the authors and writers community, sort of how helpful everyone is for one another. And it's really nice to hear, how helpful people are when you're kind of used to being alone in the writing process. So it's really nice to have that community. How long did
Absolutely.
It take you to write the book when you sat down and unearthed the journals and started going through everything? How long did it take to get it written?
Yeah, I would say it was a 3-year process. Again, I was working full time. So the times that I had to devote to writing were really the weekends. And, you know, I had teenagers at home at this time, and they were both involved with school sports. So, you know, I was still very involved in their lives. But what I found is that when I sat down and decided to write, I had to write in large chunks. So I would devote an entire day to writing, and because it took me a while to get into the scene, and then of course once I was in that space, time just flew, and I found it to be pretty amazing experience writing in that way, even though it did take time.
Mm-hmm. Did you find, you know, in writing sort of, did you connect with anyone from your past, or was it just, you just sort of dove in and did your own recollection of things, you know, from your journals?
That's a great, great question. One of the things that really helped me in writing the book was reaching out to my mother's family members, who I really had very limited connection to. We lived in New York and they lived in California, and she was pretty much estranged from her family as a young person and as we were growing up. And so when I was writing the book in those 3 years, when I was really serious about writing, my mother had passed away. You know, she was no longer alive, and I couldn't ask her some of these questions. So I went to some of her siblings and her cousin, and I started interviewing them really about what life was like for them growing up, and particularly what my mother was like, trying mm-hmm. to understand some of the things that happened and some of her behaviors. And that was extraordinarily helpful to me to get a broader view of who she was beyond the monster that I experienced as a child.
Yes, because I mean, really, you know, for our listeners who haven't read the book yet, it's really this story of how your parents have separated and you're living with your mom, and then she gets this boyfriend, Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just becomes very abusive and neglectful, both on her part and your part. So when we come back from the break, we'll discuss this a little bit more. Everyone, you're listening to Literary Speaking with Crystal Lee Quibel, and today we're talking with Beth Shulman, author of the memoir, The Gold Mailbox. When we come back, we'll discuss how she came to have empathy for the people who had hurt her and what she's learned about the writing process. And at the end of the show, we'll share how you can win a free copy of The Gold Mailbox. Tweet with us on Twitter at WriterCrystal with the hashtag memoir. We'll be right back.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Your story is begging to be told, but do you know where to start? Crystal Lee Quibel is dedicated to helping you achieve your book publishing dreams. Go to CrystalLeeQuibel.com. That's Crystal Lee Quibel, Quibell.com, and sign up for Crystal Lee's newsletter today.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to Literary Speaking. I'm your host, Crystal Lee, and today we're continuing our conversation with author of the memoir, The Gold Mailbox, Beth Shulman. Beth, how did writing your memoir sort of help you develop this empathy for your mother? Because as we said before the break, you know, she had, you know, gotten together with this boyfriend who ended up abusing you and your sister as well. And just, it was a really sort of traumatic childhood and sort of, you know, throughout the book, you kind of speak about this relationship with her and being estranged for many years. How did you come to develop this sort of empathy with your relationship?
Yeah, like I had started saying before, it was really widening way back and being able to be in the story and kind of relive some of those childhood dark experiences was helpful because then I could leave it on the page. You know, I was able to separate myself from it. And when I widened back, I really started to reflect on who was my mother as a character, you know, all evil or all good. And I wanted to sort of get to know who she was as a multidimensional person. I'd always seen her as just kind of the bad guy, the one that had emotionally abandoned me. And so once I had started talking to her family members, I learned that she had a very difficult childhood, probably struggled with mental illness and, again, wasn't diagnosed, but the suggestion that maybe she was bipolar and had some struggles in that way really came through, and that her father was an alcoholic, and then her stepfather was a pretty terrible person. And there was a lot that came out that kind of allowed me to, again, not completely discount what had happened, because it happened and it was painful, but just to gaining a broader understanding of the bigger picture was really helpful for me in developing empathy for her.
Well, and really, I mean, when we look back, it's kind of interesting when you're writing memoir, you know, it's such a life-altering experience in the way that we're reliving everything that happened in great detail. And then we have to edit and revise it several times. So it's sort of ongoing process of reliving our past again and again. How did you manage your emotions and well-being while you wrote about this?
That's a great question. It was exhausting. I mean, in the end, it was empowering. And I think one of the best things I did was to write the story, because it allowed me to let go of a lot and to move forward and move on. While I was writing, as I said, you know, I would write in these large chunks of time. I could just sit at the computer and write for 6 hours. And I needed to make sure I had carved out that uninterrupted time for myself. And then I would just take naps. I napped a lot. You know, after writing some of the more difficult scenes, I would just be exhausted and I would go to sleep. And then I would wake up feeling renewed and refreshed and ready to write some more.
Well, it's really, I mean, you're releasing years and years of repressed emotion and memories, and then sleep can be so restorative. It's almost like exercise. You know, bodybuilders will do these crazy workouts and then come home and have these power naps, and they say that's what helps rebuild the muscle. So it's really like rebuilding, you know, the muscle in your brain that's like, you're going to be okay, you know, kind of thing.
And yeah, absolutely.
In terms of editing, did you self-edit or did you hire an editor prior to submitting your work to agents?
Well, I never hired an editor. I was on a limited budget, and so I had to really decide on how I wanted to spend the limited resources that I had. And so what I really spent my money and time and resources on were writing coaches. And so I mentioned Claire Bidwell Smith, who coached me through the writing proposal, the book proposal piece, which obviously happened at the end of my writing. But in the middle of my writing, I reached out to another author that I admired very much, an author named Jennifer Locke, who wrote several memoirs, her first being Blackbird. And that was the first memoir that I had read that was actually told from the child's point of view, in her child's voice. And I was fascinated by that, and that's actually how I wrote my book. And I I really modeled my writing after hers, and I loved hearing a story told from the child. It was honest and raw and innocent, and that really appealed to me. So just like reaching out to Claire Bidwell Smith, I looked up Claire Jennifer Locke, and I found that she had a website and that she had a consulting business where she consulted with new writers, and she also had some writing courses, online writing courses. And so that's where I spent my resources. And I worked with her for about a year, both privately and also in coursework. Mm-hmm. And then she had a writer's retreat out in Oregon, which I attended and was, again, very helpful in sharing my work with others. And through that work, but the online course and also the retreat, I connected with these two wonderful women who have become lifelong friends. They are both writing their memoirs. And after we were kind of finished with our work with Jennifer, we formed our own writers group. And
wonderful.
And we met online once a week religiously for 2 years. And it was, I think that was critical in my progress of writing the book.
Well, it's so important too, because I mean, it can be very isolating when you're writing, and to have these people as your sort of coven of writer friends that get what you're going through, and you can give each other feedback. And it's just, I find it so helpful to have a writing group and a group of trusted
just
people.
Being part of it, yes, just being part of a community. And again, having never met these people before, I felt like they were objective, but they were full-hearted. I mean, I think anyone that wants to put themselves out there and that feels they want to put their story, as traumatic as maybe it was, on the page, they're people who tend to be really open-hearted people. And I just loved working with them. And reading and responding to their writing helped me become a better writer.
Yes, because you're helping edit, and so it kind of helps you shape, you know, your own work, because you have practice editing others, right?
Exactly. And reading my work aloud to them became a powerful tool in figuring out what to keep and what to cut and what to write. Sometimes when you're writing and you're so in your head, it sounds okay when it's in your head, but then when you speak it, it doesn't have the same impact. And mm-hmm. so I found just reading aloud was very helpful.
Absolutely. It's like one of the best editing tools you can use, and it's free.
Yeah.
In terms of the book proposal, you know, that can sort of be its own beast in terms of writing and polishing and presenting to agents. How long did it take for you to get the proposal ready and out there?
Well, that was an intense process, but I would say it was about a month. But it was intense. I mean, I was working with Claire. She was really guiding me through the process. She had, you know, was a professional in this way. She really knew what a book proposal ought to look like and all the components. And I at that point, I was so anxious to get it out there. You know, that although it wasn't fun writing, that's for sure. But it went quickly because I was so motivated at that point.
Well, and it also helps you sort of in the process of your writing too, when you work with the proposal, because you have to get really clear on what each chapter is going to be and
exactly.
how your story's sort of formed from beginning to end. I think with memoir, I don't know if you found this, but you write and write and write, and then you cut about 75%
mm-hmm.
of it. So did you find, was it difficult to cut some of those scenes that you felt were really important?
It really was. And because, you know, I'm in my late 40s and the technology doesn't come, you know, as easily for me as maybe someone who is a couple decades younger, mm-hmm. I found it challenging to even figure out, you know, when I was cutting things, I just cut them. And then I felt like this sense of loss because they were gone. What I really should have done is cut and pasted them in another document, but I had written so much. I mean, that is one thing I learned is you shouldn't ever discard anything you've written because it can become another story or another book. Sometimes people have three books in one, you know, and one of the women that I her name's Angela, who I became very close with in my writer's group. She has so much of a story to tell. Her biggest challenge has been narrowing down what part of the story she's going to tell. And for me, that too was a challenge because once I decided to just concentrate on these seven significant years of my childhood where a lot of things happened, then there was a lot of change. And it ends in a very hopeful way, my book does. So there's parts that have humor and it's a happy ending. And I had stopped writing before that happy ending. So I had only written about the trauma, and the feedback that I got from both Jennifer Locke and Claire Bidwell Smith when they read my manuscript was, you have to keep going. You can't end there. You have to show the reader some good stuff. And that was really powerful to me because I knew I was okay. You know, I was like, I'm fine. Obviously, I'm writing a book. I'm okay.
Yeah.
But the reader doesn't know that, and you don't want to leave the reader feeling that sense of loss and not having some closure. And so I did write another third of the book, actually, what was that last part, and then I did end with an epilogue as well.
And I think too, you know, as when I was reading it, I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. It was just, you know, there'd been so much trauma, right? And then you had just start to, you know, things would start to get good and something else would happen. And so for the reader at the end, they're, you know, they get to find out everything that happened. And I think that's what I loved about your book so much, because there was a beautiful wrap up in a way where it was like, you know, and all is not lost, and you healed and you moved forward. And I thought it was a great way you told it, because you really did capture, you know, the age that you were as a child, writing from a child's point of view and not an adult looking back. So it was really, really like you couldn't help but be completely engrossed in the story, because it was just like it was happening as you were reading.
Well, and you know, for me, writing it in that way, what really kept me in the moment and kept me present, because whenever I tried writing it as an adult looking back, it became very stiff and superficial, because what I find is when we're adults, we intellectualize things and we understand things in a different way than we understood them as a child. So there was something lost, because I had at one point tried to write the story kind of from an adult looking back, and it just didn't work as well.
I mean, it only makes sense because it happened at that point in your life, so why wouldn't it be told from that point of view? It was just so well done. If there was thing you wish for people to take away from the Gold Mailbox, what would it be?
I want my story to inspire readers to understand and own their own stories. I just lived so much of my life hiding from my past and just feeling such shame about things I had been through. And once I was able to unpackage and begin to understand where my shame was coming from, I really began to feel whole and live a much healthier and happier life. So my big takeaway was and is that our stories are really important, and we get to decide how we allow them to shape our lives.
Oh, that's beautiful, Beth. And I so agree. Thank you so much for being here, Beth. It's been a great conversation today. And I loved the book. I thought it was so well written, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you for sharing it with me as well.
And thanks for having me on your program.
Anytime. Well, everyone, Beth Shulman can be found at BethShulman.com. That's Beth, SCHULMAN.com. You can win a free copy of the Gold Mailbox just by signing up for my newsletter at crystalleequible.com. Join us next time on Literary Speaking for more tips and tricks on how to get your work published. Keep the conversation going on Twitter at Writer Crystal. I'm your host, Crystal Lee Quibel. Thank you for tuning in, and please keep writing.
Thank you for listening to Literary Speaking with your host, Crystal Lee Quibel. To start discovering how you can begin telling your story, go to CrystalLeeQuibel.com. That's Crystal Lee Quibel, Quibell.com. And sign up for Crystal Lee's newsletter. Join us again next week for more advice from your favorite authors and publishing professionals.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.